Hey, all you jive hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes, watch out.
The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again.
There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
Super strong, supernatural, and
the baddest cat that ever walked the earth.
Damn, brother, you have become one violent dude.
I might not be the baddest man in the world, but I'm in the top two, and my father is getting old.
Pardon
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hi, I'm Sam Sugar. Welcome to Pornography Show 10. Yeah, we deserve that. Pornography is a weekly look at the world of sex and the people who make us think about it. Along with our usual review of the past week at Fleshbot, this week's show includes a review of Open Source Sex, probably the most famous sex podcast in the world, and an interview with one of the most famous porn stars alive, Tara Patrick. In addition, and in celebration of show number 10, we have a sexy segment from Lumpess, who reviews a record without her panties in a way I know you'll appreciate. Remember that anonymous call I got a week ago from a listener who wanted to know more about me? Well, she called back.
Thank you, Mr. Sugar. I really appreciated your bit of personal information for the listeners. I'm not obsessed with you. I'm just fascinated to the point where I consider anonymous nudity to be within the realm of possibility in your email. I'm sorry, but thank you again. You've really made my week.
Messages like that form about 90% of my voicemail, so we've still got 10% to go. If you want me to know what you sound like when I'm looking at nude pictures of you in my email, you can leave a message for the show on 310-933-5993. Of course, if you don't want to call, just email the pictures to podnography@gmail.com. Once again, this is show number 10. Thanks to everyone who's been here since the start. Let's see if we can make this one special. Fleshbot sleeps on the web's wet spot, leaving us to enjoy the fun kinetic bits. Here are my favorites from the things that kept their sheets crispy this week. Serafina's Socks is a foot fetish site Fleshbot came across a few days ago. Foot fetishists fascinate me. I just don't get the appeal. I'm not, as one woman I know has accused me of, a foot hater. It's just why, out of all the crevices, nestles, and picnic areas on a woman's body, would you go for the foot over, say, the back of the knee? Clearly, I'm in the minority. According to the number of websites devoted to it, foot fetishes are only slightly less popular than children's smiles. Even with an open mind, though, some of the pictures on this site freaked me out a bit. A woman licking chocolate sauce from between her toes? Reminds me of the hippie chicks that I saw crying by the overfull porta potties at Burning Man. This week's Those Crazy Pacific Rimmers item is a site Fleshbot discovered devoted to sexy office novelties. Hang on, isn't Crazy Pacific Rimmers the best title for an unmade game porn film ever? Yes, I think it is. If you visit the site, you'll see yet more products from the factory in central Tokyo devoted to making Westerners think all Japanese people are sumo wrestling, sushi eating, girls crying during porno loving, I bought these panties from a vending machine declaring, good time people. It's great. I'm actually writing notes for this show using my just delivered boner pen. There's been a lot of news recently regarding suicide girls and the mess that site's become. What's really sad is that the site, which was never that special to begin with, and is run by a man who's known to be an arsehole, is now being used as proof that the entire adult industry is exactly as portrayed in Hardcore, which is a great movie with George C. Scott you should rent if you've not seen. Of course, thanks to Fleshbot, our collective passion for tattooed women from middle-class backgrounds who have parents with higher degrees can still be safely sated. Zili Defu, and I've no idea if that's how you say it, is a state-of-the-art alterna chick and, despite having the slowest loading website in Christendom, is worth visiting. Your lust will thank you for it. Burlesque translates from the French as amateur stripping by a woman who collects corsets, but continues to be seen as acceptable to mention in public in a way that pouring sparkling white wine over a student telling you her name's Chandelier, who's picking up dollars with her vagina, isn't. Fleshbot found a gallery at Flickr featuring burlesque performers from across the US. They range from beautiful to, ooh, less flash, but all are worth seeing. Being part of a porn movie is a dream for about 50% of the population, and a nightmare for the rest of us. As you're listening to this show, allow me to guess which side you're on. Pervert. Graham, Fleshbot's man in the valley, wrote about his walk-on, jack-off role in a porn movie this week. Actually, it was a non-sex role and he kept all his clothes on, but if you think I'm going to miss a chance to say walk-on, jack-off in public, you're clinically insane. Best of all, he now has a home movie to silence his children with if they ever accuse him of being square. So they were my highlights from Fleshbot this week. For updates, check fleshbot.com daily. It'll make you very happy indeed. In this week's left-handed review, I'm going to take a look at the most famous, most listened to sex podcast of all time. Open Source Sex by Violet Blue.
Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex with me, Violet Blue.
Violet's something of a sexual intellectual, and one of the very few people I know who makes their living from sex, but isn't actually paid to have sex with anyone. There's ample evidence for how this came to pass in her podcast. Now, 17 shows in, but it seems like longer, a podcasting year's about 5 shows, I think, she talks about her life, reads erotica, and touches on the politics of sex in a way that's simultaneously authoritative and welcoming. Like all good podcasters, she has a great voice, but you'd be a fool to think that her little girl cadence means she's a woman without an opinion. Violet advocates, and is an example of, sexual openness coupled to control and awareness. It's a cool combination.
And tonight, I have a very, very special guest. His name is Michael Soldier, and he is an award-winning gay porn star. He won Best Porn Performer 2004 at the Gavian Awards, the same year that he won Miss Tranny Shack, which I must say is quite a feat. And he's just gone, his star has just risen and risen and risen since then. And he's also in a band called Pepper Spray, where he is Precious Moments, among many, many, many other wonderful things. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Violet. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. First, I'd like to start out with a news release that I found, and I'd like to talk about that for a second.
Sure.
Rowdy porn star crashes awards ceremony at Beverly Hills Hilton. Beverly Hills, January 18th, 2005. Sunday evening at approximately 8 o'clock p.m., Beverly Hills police and Hilton Hotel security personnel detained gay adult entertainment star Michael Soldier. Soldier is currently starring in the blockbuster gay soap opera Wet Palms, which, by the way, he's up for Best Actor again. Just as Joan and Melissa Rivers were wrapping up the red carpet arrival, Soldier bounded in front of the camera. He roared like Tarzan and ripped off his police uniform in a single practiced move. He was wearing a sparkling gold thong, a gold bow tie, and nothing else. Soldier lifted a sign over his head reading, "Suck my golden globe," and "Respect for adult artists."
That was globes plural.
Oh, well, the F isn't on the release.
Sorry.
Well, I'm glad you have two. Joan and Melissa shimmied quickly into place next to the hunky star, anxious for any opportunity to boost their ratings. "Who are you wearing, darling?" purred the senior Rivers. "Yes, yes, fabulous, just fabulous," added her wide-eyed daughter. "So, what can you tell me about this incident, Mr. Soldier?"
Well, I'll give you the exclusive. I'm not supposed to talk about it. My lawyers said that I shouldn't confirm or deny any of the allegations that have been made against me from the people who run the Golden Globes. But
well, considering anyone can type your name or porn star Golden Globes into Google News and come up with Reuters and AP articles about it, I think you're going to have a hard time denying this one.
Well, I was wearing international mail. I'll let you know that. That's the exclusive. I didn't tell Joan or Melissa, but I'll tell you, Violet. It was international mail.
Well, I'm really quite honored to be sitting so close to someone who would do something like that.
No.
Why on earth would you do something like that anyway?
Well, why wouldn't I? Well, basically, if you, the rest of the article talks about how I was, proclaiming that gay porn, well, not gay porn, so that adult entertainment stars should be given the same level of appreciation and respect that people in the mainstream industry get for things like the Oscars and the Emmys and the Golden Globes. But
that brings up an interesting point because you also lecture at a bunch of different places, like you lecture for San Francisco Sex Information about being a sex worker. Mm-hmm. And so you also, not only are you like a totally fabulous gay male porn star, but you're also a massage therapist as well, but you also do erotic massage, is that true?
Yes, I do.
And when you talk about that in front of rooms full of people, what do you tell them about being an erotic masseuse? I'm really curious about that.
Okay, well, you know, it's really
interesting. What do you wear?
What do I wear?
Uh-huh.
When I do erotic massage, I don't wear anything at all. Maybe a little bit of oil if that rubs off. I'm a licensed massage therapist. I was trained in New York. I went to a very good school, the Swedish Institute of Massage Therapy in New York. But I've always had this sort of parallel practice of doing erotic massage at the same time, which is, you know, very satisfying for myself and for the people who receive my services.
Excellent. Are you expected to orgasm when you when you give your massages?
Oh, God. If I had more than one appointment a day, can you imagine trying to work after doing that every single day? Actually, no. You know, I'm not really into doing the escort sort of situation, but massage therapy is, you know, it's got its own sort of script, and I really like being able to keep the boundaries pretty straight for me. I'm already a trained performer, an actor, and I really don't want to do that on a one-to-one basis in the escort situation, but in a massage situation, I feel like I'm applying a trade and a skill that, you know, there's nothing to misconstrue.
Yeah, I understand, but I was
it's, you know, it's totally hot. But
not knowing anything about male man-on-man erotic massage, I was really curious as to whether you were expected to provide that service as well. Orgasm on demand.
I'm sure some people always do, but that's not something that I offer. But they very rarely don't have an orgasm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you bragging?
No, I'm skilled. I'm a Virgo like you, hon. You know, we got skills.
As that clip proves, one, erotic massage in San Francisco means a happy ending, and two, being as well-known as Violet means you can get access to the kinds of porn stars who other porn stars see as celebrities. Brains, access, and an inquisitive attitude make for a good show. Violet's website and publishing career were a big deal before she started podcasting, and she has a big hand in Fleshbot, probably the most important sex blog online. She's an icon for the branch of the sex universe which falls between mainstream and scary. It's hard to overestimate how high her profile is at this point.
I'd like to give a warm welcome to new listeners who might have found me through the Wall Street Journal or Newsweek, or just by seeing the word sex in the iTunes top 10 list, a dubious honor if I must say so myself. I did get a humorous email from the Wall Street Journal, something about a fatwa or something after open source sex moved past the journal's podcast in the list. But then again, I did drink a bit of wine last night and chirp a few off-color remarks about making Ted Koppel my female dog with a USB leash, and something even naughtier about Al Franken and some kind of penetrative sex act involving a shuffle. I'm kidding. A little. Actually, I'm not kidding.
See what I mean? More people listen to her than do the Wall Street Journal. That's pretty significant. Of course, Violet's more likely to say something like this.
He began to kiss me, his tongue teasing mine. His hand kneaded my breast and pinched my nipple gently, sending a surge of pleasure through my body and down to my moistening, freshly shaved cunt.
And that probably has something to do with her popularity, too. Violet's show is the default starting point for people interested in sex podcasting, and, despite frustratingly variable technical quality, it deserves that honor and is among the most worthwhile sex podcasts being recorded. If you haven't yet, do.
A hot knife, a sentimental needle. Showtime's the night, yeah. A few shots of anybody bleeding. Get a fever all right, yeah. Let me up, make me shine, quick before I hit the floor. I'm trying to get from me. Okay, you know you got me setting up the moving scene. A picture show, miss it a row. A timing wind, yeah, how you get so low. The move that scene, broken queen. A timing wind, yeah, tell me what you see.
As it's the 10th show, it's right that we should have an interview with a guest who is unashamedly special. Tara Patrick certainly qualifies. In the past 6 years, she's risen to become one of the most recognizable faces in porn, which isn't bad for an industry which encourages people to look at everything but your face, and when they do, it's only to find out what's casting a shadow on your tits. I caught up with Tara a couple of days ago. She was at home, and the little person you can hear in the background is not her husband, Spider. Spider's not little at all, and would kick your ass just to find out what kind of noise you made.
Hello, Tara.
Hello, darling.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
And where in the world are you right now?
Right now, I am in my home in Sherman Oaks, California, which is a suburb inside Los Angeles. And I'm actually getting ready to leave for New York tomorrow and then England.
Oh, well, lucky you, going to the place of my birth. Are you going to go and visit the hospital I was born in? Because I know that might be a pilgrimage you'll want to make.
No, I'm going to the tattoo convention.
Wow. Are you going to get any ink while you're in England, or are you just going to go?
No, my husband, Spider, he's hosting it. He's the host of the London Tattoo Convention.
Got it.
Yeah, so we're going together, and I'm kind of like his little co-host.
Well, you're his rather tall co-host.
He's rather tall.
As I understand it, you're half English yourself.
Yes, I am. My father's English. My mother's Thai, and my father's English, yes.
Do you spend much time in England or Thailand?
No, not in Thailand. I've been there. I visited there on holiday. But I started going to England when I was like 10. So I've been there many, many times. And I go there for work and for play. And
the fact that you live in the United States and are married to an American, I'll just take it as evidence that England is just too much fun for one lifetime.
Yeah.
And you have to measure it out in doses.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't think I could live there, but I love hanging out and partying.
Well, as an English person who doesn't live there either, I think I have to agree with you on that point. Although I do love the UK, so if anyone's listening to this, please just send the hate mail to the usual address, and I do. England is great. But your story is kind of interesting. Aside from the mad kind of stalker fans who are currently now looking at maps of Sherman Oaks and trying to work out where you live, I think you have an extremely interesting background, especially given how far you've risen, because you're one of the very few, well, there are two things I think that make you really unique. One is that you're unequivocally beautiful, and you were before you entered the industry. And secondly, that you had not only a proper job, but you had a proper job that requires training. You were a nurse, right?
I was, yeah, for 3 years.
So what's the story? How did you go from being a schoolgirl to being one of the best-known faces in the adult industry?
Well, it's funny because I, you know, was working as a nurse, and I was working, you know, a job just like everybody else. And I just started to get tired of it. I was a model when I was a teenager. I'd spent my teenagers modeling in like New York and Japan, and I was like a regular fashion model. And I kind of missed being in the limelight. I was 23 years old, and I was working really hard, and I thought, well, do I want to be a doctor? Well, do I want to be a model? And I think what led me back into, I didn't know I was going to get in the adult business, but what led me back in the entertainment business was money. I really wanted the money, and I had some girlfriends that they wanted to pose for Playboy magazine. And so I went with them kind of like on a whim, and they ended up, they took my pictures, I did some test photos, and then they wanted to publish me in the magazine. And that's how I got into the business. I got into the business through Playboy.
So, when were you in Playboy?
I had shot for Playboy. It was in June of 1999. Oh. And I actually ended up being published a couple months later. It was in the Playboy Brazil edition of Playboy. It was in Brazil. Because at the same time, I had shot with this photographer named Suze Randall, and she'd sent my pictures to Penthouse. And Penthouse was real excited to publish me as a Penthouse pet. So Playboy didn't want to publish me at the same time. So I ended up in Brazilian Playboy, and I ended up in American Penthouse in February of 2000. Hi, Vivi. Be right out, I promise. And I was thrilled. I mean, I saw myself on the newsstand, and I was like, yeah, cool. You know, I taking off my clothes for the first time when I did Playboy, I mean, it was such a fun experience. It was really laid back. It was kind of a fantasy of mine. I think every girl fantasizes about being, you know, not every girl, but, you know. I don't think they all fantasize about being a porn, but I think a lot of them fantasizing about being a pinup. And, you know, when I was a young girl, although I wanted to be, you know, like Clara Barton, I also dreamed about being like Betty Page and Jane Mansfield and Marilyn Monroe. You know, I wanted to be on the glossy pages of pinup magazine.
But it's what's really fascinating for me is that you'd already, I mean, you had been idolized as a model. So when
right.
you made the move to the adult space, would you consider yourself, and this might sound like a silly question to be asking someone involved in adult, but do you consider yourself to be, you know, abnormally sexual, or is it exhibitionism, or what's the motivation there?
Well, it's funny because, okay, you're right. I was just doing magazines. I had established myself as a model, and then I went into hardcore. And I went into hardcore through a guy by the name of Andrew Blake. I had done my first movie with him. And then I did another movie, my first movie for a company called Adam and Eve. And I think the first couple times I did the movies, it was more or less like fantasy. I'd always fantasize about being in porn, doing a porn movie, you know, getting back all the boyfriends that cheated on me and me. I was going to be this gorgeous, famous porn star. You know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of like I did it like that. And then what kept me going really was the money. You know, I decided... you know, I decided to stay in the business because I was making good money. Unfortunately, you know, which I don't want to go too much into, but I can touch on lightly, was that I signed a really bad contract. I was in business with a company where I was their first contract star, and although they did a very good job of promoting me and I ended up becoming very popular very quickly, they never paid me. So I kind of felt like, well, gee, you know, what was more important, the fame or the fortune?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lesson that I think a lot of people unfortunately have to learn for themselves. As someone who's been through that, because if someone is asked to name a woman in the adult space or a female porn star, you're going to be in the first three or four names that they mentioned, pretty much guaranteed. Everyone is going to assume that you have made at least twice as much money as you have. Almost certainly. What kind of advice would you give women who are considering entering the adult industry?
Well, one thing that, like, it was funny because, you know, when I was going through all that, when I was going through the lawsuit, when I was going through the tough time, I had talked to so many other entertainers, and these were, like, mainstream entertainers, you know, like regular, my attorney that I got, you know, he represented boxers and UFC fighters and models, and he told me, honey, everybody makes this mistake. And not everybody, but, you know, he said a lot of people get roped into doing this. He said, you're not alone. He said, you know, now that you have your name and who you are, you know, you should go out there and capitalize on who you are and make money. And it was shocking to me because I wanted to quit the business. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was kind of like, well, I've made a handful of movies. I'll quit the business. You know, I've gotten where I've gotten. And then I met my husband, Spider Jones, and he's the one who convinced me to stay. And, you know, he told me, look, you had some bad things happen to you in the industry. Why don't you turn it around? And, you know, young girls who are considering coming in the industry, you know, why don't you use what you know and help them? And that's how I ended up opening the Tara Patrick Agency. And, you know, my advice to girls coming into the industry is, number one, get a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, if someone offers you a deal that's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. You know, I mean, get a lawyer and do your research and make sure that when you sign on the dotted line that, you know, you realize what you're getting into and realize also that this isn't something that you can take back. You know, once you do porn, you're forever immortalized. Your pussy is forever immortalized on the big screen. You know, and who knows, you know, who knows who may see it? You know, an ex-boyfriend, your old gym teacher, everybody watches porn. So everybody's going to see you.
This is a particular hot button issue for you because you're a fashion model, so you're tall, unlike many of the women in the adult industry who are not tall, and you have at least for the kind of San Fernando Valley standards, did I say San Fernando Vallo? San Fernando Valley standards of diversity, you are incredibly exotic because you're not blonde. Amongst the kind of porn crowd, you stand out. Do you find that with your level of fame, it's difficult to blend in at this point?
Well, it's funny because, like, my husband always laughs at me because I compare myself to, like, I always say, well, gee, I'm not even like Nicole Kidman. I mean, I look up to women like Nicole Kidman and Elizabeth Hurley who jet set around the world constantly, you know, and I jet set around the world constantly, and I don't know, they always manage to look absolutely fabulous. Mine coming off the plane and my hair standing up, but, I don't walk around with a lot of security or a big entourage, but, you know, I do. I have a security guy that I walk around with who's also my assistant, and I usually have my little dog with me who's very fierce. No. But, you know, I find that I get recognized a lot, you know, definitely in America. I got recognized in Australia. I just came back from Australia, and I got recognized by a woman. It's like, oh, my God, Tara. And she was super nice, and I loved being in Australia, because even if people recognize you, they don't really bother you. You know, they just kind of wave, and everyone's very friendly. And
everyone's drunk all the time.
Yeah, are they drunk? Really? I didn't notice a lot of drunk people.
No, I've just...
But they do like to get pissed. Pissed, as they call it. They
yes.
do like to get pissed.
Yeah.
Pissed. But, it was a good time, but I find that I do get recognized a lot, and I think it's a good thing for me, and I think it's good for me because like I find that I have a lot of female fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny, I'll be in the shopping mall and I'll be like, two little Asian girls come up to me and go, "Oh my God, my boyfriend's so in love with you. We have your poster in our bedroom," and you know, and then I've met people who are like, "I conceived my child with you," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh," you know, and I mean, and then I'll hear, "Oh, you got me through such a rough patch," and I'm like, "Oh, I say," you know, I mean, so I mean,
wow.
I get it all. Yeah, I get it all. people are not, you know, shy about telling you how much they love you when you're a porn star.
Well, this is the other thing that I know is of interest to people, and it's kind of. I think it's a very hard thing for people to answer because it's almost kind of breaking one of the golden rule. But when I mean, you are someone who people think that they know because they see you
right.
naked and they see you having sex.
Right.
How much of you? I mean, how much of Tara is on screen as opposed to how much of you kind of leave for your private life and your relationships and being a regular person?
Well, I always say that, you know, sex on camera is so different than sex at home, you know, because one, I always say at home, you get to relax. So, you know, there is a big part of me that of course, you know, is on screen that's, you know, there's some acting there and then, you know, there's a lot of me up there. But there's, you know, I always reserve, I think, part of it. That's kind of a hard question to answer because I think I do a good job of reserving, you know, when I go home, I relax and I have sex and I make love. I don't really make love when I'm on screen.
Mm-hmm.
A little more acting, a little rougher, a little more dramatic, you know, and then I get to go home and relax and do it with the lights out. What? It's freezing. I don't know what you're talking about. It's freezing in here.
It's freezing.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
It's
my
okay.
stepson's trying to bribe me to go in the pool, and I'm like, "You're crazy. It's freezing."
He's
like, "The heater's been on."
I think I can guess from what your conversation that your stepson is young, but believe me, in later life, when he tells his friend that he was always trying to convince his stepmom, Tara Patrick, to get into the pool, his friends will just nod and say, "Yeah, I completely understand."
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
They'll completely get it. One thing I'm curious about, I mean, you just talked about the kind of whole sex thing. Do you think of yourself as a more sexual person than average?
No, I don't consider myself more sexual or oversexed. I think that I'm probably a little more maybe experimental, I guess. I think porn stars are, some of them are definitely oversexed, but I think some of us are just maybe a little more open and experimental and I guess willing to try more things than maybe, say, the average girl.
Did you
person,
were you experimental before you got involved in the adult industry?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I was, you know, I was always curious about things. I would read a lot, you know, and I would read all kinds of books or erotic magazines or biographies, and you know, I would just hear about, ooh, so and so used to do anal sex. Ooh, let's try anal sex, or you know what I mean? Like I started traveling at a young age. I started seeing how other cultures live. I mean, I grew up very, I would say, very worldly. I mean, my dad, you know, I grew up alone with my dad. My dad raised me by himself, and you know, he's English and very, you know, open-minded. He smokes pot. I mean, you know, winemaker. I mean, he's, you know, he's real cool. I mean, I have to say that I did have a very cool upbringing.
What's the reaction been like of the people around you to the fact that you're now this kind of public figure who's known for being involved in the adult industry?
Well, it's funny because I grew up in a lot of different places, so I made friends, but in like a lot of different places. And when I started to get known, and when I started to start, my movies started coming out, my magazines started coming out, a lot of people tried to get in touch with me. And I was like, oh, God. But, you know, it's funny because fame changes you and fame changes how people look at you. you know. And I find that I'm really lucky that I have a very close circle of people that I keep really close to me. You know, I mean, I have a good family. I have a good husband. I have a good circle. I have a good unit.
Do you think that the fact that you became famous pretty quickly? I mean, as you said, you did kind of your first work in the adult industry in 1999, which isn't that long ago. Do you think that one of the reasons that you found that you could fall in love easily with someone in the public eye is because you guys have an understanding of what it's like to be famous and kind of up there and visible?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, how I met Evan was I saw him on Oz. I saw him on his show on HBO that he used to do here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing him, and I just remember thinking, what a good-looking guy. And I was just going to, you know, shag him a few times. You know what I mean? I was just like, we're just going to get down and nasty, and, you know, that guy looks hot, and, you know, we're going to get it on, and I'm never going to see him again. I didn't anticipate falling in love with him. But I think one of the reasons why we did fall in love was that both of our lives had been similar. You know, both of us had been on the road a long time. I mean, he was having wild nights and sexy, crazed nights with groupies, and, you know, I was doing porn, so it didn't really, you know, he was kind of like cool, not cool about it, but, I mean, a lot of guys would say, well, she's a porn star, and he'd say, yeah. She's probably slept with less guys than, you know, the girl you picked up in the bar last night. You know what I mean? Like, he always believed in me and defended me, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I think we're so successful as a power couple today, is that we both really believe in each other and our relationship, and we set boundaries with each other, and we play within those boundaries, and you know, we're both very giving and honest and loyal. And I think that we both also found each other at the right time in each other's lives. You know, we were neither one of us was looking to get married, and I think that's why we found it.
Yeah. You said that you set boundaries. A lot of people will be thinking, you know, given that one of your jobs is to be sexual in public, what kind of boundaries do you have?
Well, I mean, like, we both work on camera with each other, and I've recently, you know, started I work with women as well, and we like to bring a woman into, you know, for a threesome with us, but he doesn't have sex with the other woman. You know what I mean? So, like, we set boundaries where, like, you know, our relationship, you know, we do what's good for our relationship, but we like to play as well, but we make sure none of the other person hurts the other person's feelings. And that's the advice that I give to a lot of couples out there, because a lot of couples are like, well, you know, how does your guy's relationship work? How do you stay strong? He wants me to bring a girl home. I don't want to bring a girl home. I mean, I write a column for FHM UK every month, and I pull from a lot of my own personal experience for that and Genesis. So, you know, a lot of people say, you know, is that really your honest answer? And yeah, it is. You know, yeah, it is. I mean, I can't compare my life to anyone else's because my life's a little different, but,
no.
Yeah.
I think your sex life is probably a little more interesting than average across the board. I would also say that you're probably in a very, very small club of women who've ever watched Oz and thought, you know, for kind of like hot guy value. Not that there weren't good-looking guys on there, but that show was dark. I mean,
I never saw it. I watched it that one time, and I know that there was I mean, I remember when we started dating, he would come to store signings with me or dance gigs, and guys would show up or girls would show up knowing that Evan was going to be there with me, and they'd be like, oh, my God, he was so hot on Oz. Like, there were a lot of groupies from that show.
There was a lot of rough man sex on that program. It was very difficult to watch. I think it was the one program that most guys saw and thought, I am never going to prison. I am never doing anything wrong. A while ago, you had quite a reputation, I should say, and this might shock you because I know you've never heard anything like this before. But I remember a long time ago when I was lucky enough to be around you while you were talking in the public eye, you used to tell some quite wild stories about your sexual fantasies and your experiences. Do you know the stories that I'm talking about? I remember hearing you say that you once had a fantasy about firemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that you had kind of lived out that fantasy.
Right.
Is that the truth?
Yeah, well, it was exaggerated a little bit, but, I mean, yes, I had sex with a few firemen, and it was a fantasy of mine that I had, but one of them was actually my boyfriend at the time.
Because now everyone's going to be swearing at their computers or their radios or whatever they're listening on and shouting at me or breaking their iPods, do me a favor and recap that story, because even though to you, you're just thinking, what, there's no big deal. I remember hearing you tell this story and it blew my mind. So would you care sharing it? You were dating a fireman, right?
Well, the story's been told so many times. Like, I don't even know what the real story is. Some people say it's 5. Some people said it was 10. Some people said it was 3. I mean, it was so long ago. Honestly, I don't even remember. Like, I remember it was a few firemen. No, seriously, it was like a few firemen. I had gone to the fire station and I just had sex with them. I just went there and had sex with like a couple firemen, and it was great. And I redid that scene in a pleasure movie. I actually redid the scene. I doubt the scene where it was on a fire truck.
With different firemen, I'm assuming here.
One of them was Randy Spears. And I don't even remember. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. But the scene, I think it's from Pleasure.
That gives everyone listening an idea of how awesome your sex life is. Because most people, if they'd ever had sex with 4 or 5 people in kind of living out a fantasy sort of way, not only would they remember it, but there'd be kind of a shrine to it in their apartment.
Oh,
and they would remind themselves of it every morning. And you can remember.
It's funny. Like, I remember when I went to Costa Rica with a magazine to shoot, and one of the photographers had an accident on that day when we were shooting on a volcano, and his leg got badly burned. And since I was a nurse, you know, everybody was kind of like, oh, can you keep an eye on him? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so he had brought his brother on the trip with him. Mm-hmm. And we all went to dinner except for the brother that was injured, and we all went to dinner, and I left early to go check on the brother that was injured, and I ended up ripping my clothes off and having sex with him. And while I was supposed to be checking his leg, of course, and his brother walked in on us, and I was like, why don't you join us? And then he joined us. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I had sex with two brothers, and it was a fun magazine shoot. We finished the shoot, and then they were both like, "Wow, we got to have sex with a penthouse pet!" So they were very excited. They didn't even really know me as Tara Patrick. They were just kind of like, "Wow, you're a penthouse pet." So funny.
I don't have a brother, and I'm really glad that I don't have a brother, because never happen to me.
You know, I always said I can't get freaky with my sister, but, you know, I think they both saw it as like an opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
I think they both were like, well, gee, this is a great opportunity.
If it was anything to do with me, I would have been, you know, if I was like the first brother, I would have then been, hang on, this is kind of like one of my sexual high points of my life. Now my brother's going to come in and steal it. I'd probably end up in a fist fight with my brother while you were kind of standing there shivering in the corner. But then again, maybe that's why these things don't happen to me. Maybe I'm getting all my priorities wrong.
I don't know why I remember this experience, and I don't really remember much about the fireman experience. So maybe this one was better. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe their hoses were better. But I remember. It was really funny because at breakfast the next morning, we all went to breakfast, and the one brother was kind of upset at the other brother because he was like, oh, I had her first. So they were kind of fighting over me, and it was really funny. I got a big kick out of it, to say.
I bet you did, and I'm sure they're still talking about it. And the fact that you can't remember it is something that they'll just be, I don't know what, they'll be crying, I'm sure. But is there anything left for you? I mean, do you find that being someone who you know, is so sexual and so public, is there anything left for you that, you know, kind of unfulfilled desires on that front?
Oh yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, I just actually filmed, now that I own my own production company, TerraVision, you know, I chose to take some of the negative things that happened to me in the industry and turn them into positive, and which was, you know, opening my own production company, signing 3 contract girls, opening up the agency. I decided that if I was going to stay in the industry, I wanted to do some good. You know, I look up to women like Terry Weigel and Nina Hartley and Sharon Mitchell, who are all really good friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And, of course, crazy kooky Amber Lynn. But, you know, like Sharon, you know, becoming a doctor and opening up the clinic. You know, I kind of want to follow in the footsteps. And when people mention the name Tara Patrick, I want them to think, oh, you know, that girl was, I want them to say, oh, she was pretty, but, you know, she was also intelligent and she also did a lot for the industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I want people to look at me positively, and you know, I just took a crew to Hawaii and filmed 2 more movies for Terravision, and I did my first anal scene.
Oh wow, that's big news.
Yeah, I did my first anal scene, and I've also you know, I've also been debating whether or not I'm going to work on screen with other male partners right now. We're kind of debating that. I know some of my fans would like to see it. So
I think some of your fans would like to be the other guy, actually.
Yeah. I should run it. Can you be a porn star? You know, I should run auditions, right?
Oh my life! Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, there are some questions you really don't need to ask. Should I work with other guys? Yeah, me. It's going to be the answer across the board there. You mentioned the 3 women you mentioned probably combined, and if I meet any of them soon and they get really upset, then I'm sorry in advance. But probably combined, they've probably been in the industry 60 years. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself having you know, a long career in adult, or are you looking to make this a short chapter that you're going to end fairly soon?
I see myself, you know, I would like to, you know, the thing is performing, you know, I don't know how long, you know, maybe for a year or two. I can't really put a number on performing. I can't say, okay, I'm going to stop in a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shooting more than I ever have right now. I think I look better than I ever have, and I want to give my fans what they want and, of course, make lots of money.
Yeah.
So I'm shooting definitely a lot right now, and 2005 is a great year right now, and I mean, I've grown the explosion, the rate that I'm growing at. I'm hiring, you know, employees. It's just crazy. You know, we've been growing and growing, and we're branching into SMS chat and novelties and herbal pills and clothing, lingerie. You know, I just re-inked my deal with Vivid Video.
Congratulations.
So I'm going to be a Vivid girl for the next 5 years, and I just completed Where the Boys Aren't, 17 and 18. And 2 films with PT.
Very cool.
So Vivid, I still have a tremendous deal with California Exotic Novelties. I'm pushing about 12 new novelties a year, 12 to 24 new novelties a year that I'm putting out, and they're selling very well.
Because your picture's on the box.
Because I'm just on the box. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I mean, where I would like to go, I'd like to write a book. You know, I'd like to hopefully in the next, you know, few years branch into the more business, become more of a businesswoman, branch into more of the behind the scenes. I would still like to, you know, keep Terravision running for years to come. Like I said, I have 3 new contract girls, and they'd like to keep working. One of them is brand new, Yasmin Taylor. She's from Australia. She's never even opened her legs.
Did you find her when you were in Australia recently?
Yes, I did. I found her in New Zealand, at Erotica New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Yes. She came to meet me. She came to meet me and said, I want to be a porn star. So I've taken her under my wing, and she's going to be working with us.
And tell me as well, because there are going to be a lot of people who hear this who are going to want to go and look at you, and I'm not even going to tell you what they're going to be doing when they're doing that. But you have a kind of a fractured web presence. So when people want to find you, I think I know where they should go, but where should they be looking for you online?
They should be looking at me at clubterra.com.
Okie dokie. because
that is my official website.
And what's the there are probably other websites out there that I'm not even going to mention that are claiming to have some connection with you. What's the deal with those guys? Is there a story there? Because some people, I'm sure, are probably scratching their heads right now thinking, oh my God, I just joined Terra's website and it wasn't clubterra.com.
Right. Well, it is. There's, you know, my name was stolen from me a couple years ago, my domain. So I'm supposed to get it back really soon. I'll keep everybody informed of when I do. But until then, yeah, I've never been compensated for the website, or I don't have anything to do with it. And if they want to see me, go to Club Terra.
Bastards. Well, I will make sure that everybody goes to clubterra.com.
Yay.
And thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. And it's funny because I actually have a picture of you in my mind right now. And I do remember what you look like. And I don't remember very many people, but maybe it's because you're English. You know, I don't know.
I think what you want to say, I think, allow me to interpret. I think it's because I'm one of the most handsome men you've ever seen.
I think that's true, too.
As a treat for show number 10, and believe me, this is a treat, I'm going to share a segment recorded by a fellow sex blogger, Lumpess. She's a grad student and a librarian, as is pretty much every female sex blogger I've ever met. If any woman you know works with books, trust me, she's a freak, and she wants you to do all that stuff you're too shy to discuss. Lumpess is a serious music fan, and a couple of days ago she sent me this recording of her reviewing records for her new podcast, Bedroom Radio. I'm proud to say she was inspired by some emails we've been exchanging, and I helped her name the segment. Oh, the power of podcasting.
I have a new segment for you this week on Bedroom Radio. It's called Dancing with Myself. In this segment, I'll be testing the sexiness of music in the most obvious way I could think of, trying to determine if I can get off while listening to it. I decided that my first pick should be a challenge, and so I designed the experiment accordingly. Can I get off to creepy French musique concrète? We'll see.
Then, all at once, you can find yourself in a situation where your physical urges fight against your reason.
All right, I'm ready to begin the experiment. I've got my strange music all queued up and ready to go. This song has a guy speaking with a French accent running throughout the duration of it. It is 4 minutes and 50 seconds long, which is as long as it should take for me to get off on a normal day. We will see if the music helps or hinders. I've got my panties off, and it's time to hit play. Well, it has a nice beat. I think I can work with this. My fingers down and running them up and down my slip. This song has a nice groove to it. Yeah. something reassuring about this voice in my ears while I'm touching myself. Maybe it's the humanities dork in me, but being an English grad student and hearing someone talk about dictionaries, it's not so bad. Oh. Completed. Conclusion? Creepy musique concrète can be kind of sexy.
That's it for Podnography Show 10. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out podnography.com for past shows, fleshbot.com for daily sex news, and sugarbank.com for more of me. My name's Sam Sugar, and that was Podnography.